I'm thankful the way the Lord has worked things out. This with the Shores being able to come through. We just had the Frews, Mike and Sarah Frew. Just such a love that dear family. Little Andrew and Katie, just precious. And they were here to report on Wednesday night. And thank God for what He's doing on the continent of Europe. We are just so encouraged to see the hand of God on these missionaries as they're going out to places, quite frankly, that were at one time just booming with revival. The hand of God was moving mightily, and over the years, as there's just been apostasy and apathy, but I do believe there's another stirring. I believe there is another work of God where He's raising up another remnant and of missionaries and preachers of the gospel and families like the Shore family that are going and just giving their lives so that people could come to know Christ. And it's just preparing us. We have missions conference, Brother Ben, taking place 2 weeks from today. And we'll be having Brother Bud Stedman will be preaching for us, and we got several missionary families. But tonight, church, those of you that are new to our church, we have several new families in our church that have joined even since in the past year after our last missions conference. What we do each year is have a missions conference to remind us of the great need of the world. And what we do that week is we pray and we hear messages from the Word of God. We hear the testimonies of missionaries. And then we pray, God, what would You have us give in the coming year, so that we can take on more missionaries? It is a step of faith. And God has blessed, folks. Our faith promise to this point is exactly what the church has promised. And I want to commend you on that, church. Thank you for being faithful with your faith promise. Thank you for trusting God to use that so we can support missionary families like the Frews and like the Shores so they can do the work of God. And so may the Lord speak to us tonight. I'm going to let Brother Ben just take over from here. He's going to share his presentation tonight, be giving you an update on what God has been doing. And they'll have some, they'll minister in music. And then Brother Ben will preach the Word of God to us. Thank you for being here, brother.
All right. Well, would you thank the Lord for the opportunity to be back with you folks? I think it's been about 11 or 12 years. We were here twice, but it was while we were on deputation, and have very good memories from our time here. If you haven't met us, I'm Ben Shore, my wife, Katie. I have to find her tonight. All right. She's back there. And then our kids, raise your hands because there's a lot out here. Kaylee is up here. Benson. And then Logan back there. Parker. And then Nelson and Mac. Okay. He's our youngest. So a girl and then five boys. And we thank God for our family. It's great to have extended family with us. My mother-in-law is also here tonight, Genevieve, and glad that she was able to come over with the Hammonds when they came. But our family's going to sing right now. We're going to sing a song entitled God Can. And Mike Frew was just here. They're good friends. We've seen them in Germany the last 2 years at Baptist World Camp. Dr. Stedman we saw in Germany as well. With Europe, sometimes you feel like it's a difficult field, or can be considered a difficult field, but our confidence, our hope is that, as your pastor said, God is able and God can. All right, so we thank God for that location. That location, by the way, is not available to us because of COVID-19. They decided that they were not going to open that back up. You might have seen that in our last prayer letter. Actually, it might have been after I wrote the last prayer letter. We just found out a few weeks ago that for the rest of this year, they're keeping that closed. So what God has allowed us to do, starting last week, we rented the hall that you see in the football tournament. It's across from our house. But we had to change locations and we had to change service times. And so they're having a 5 p.m. Sunday school and a 6 p.m. kind of like morning service in the evening. And so that's our new schedule, plus Zoom services Sunday morning and then Thursday night as well. But just pray for grace that we could keep meeting together as a church. It seems like the lockdown is going to tighten up again. And if it does, that's going to put us back online. We'd sure like to meet together as a church. My family's going to come one more time. We're going to sing again. God's blessed us with some evangelists that have come over to our ministry in Scotland. One of those is Andy Gleiser. And Andy writes music. He puts it online, makes it available. And this is a song that he's written, His Name Among All Nations. And I know this is a praying church, and we thank God for that. As I mentioned earlier, that's so important to what God has called us to do. Isaiah chapter 6, if you just turn your Bibles there to Isaiah chapter 6. And we're going to kind of start here tonight. So Isaiah chapter 6, a very familiar missions passage in Isaiah's call. So it says in verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 6, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And there was a deep humility in the heart of a man of God that we look at as a righteous man, but he sensed his sin in the presence of God, desired God's cleansing. And verse 6, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then said I, Here am I, send me." And the Trinity looking for a man of God that would go as a preacher, prophet, and declare God's message to God's people, found a man in Isaiah, and Isaiah surrendered to that call, and he said to God, "God, here am I, send me." That was the commission of Isaiah. And we understand tonight that when Jesus left for heaven, that he gave us a great commission. It's something that God has given to each and every single one of us. It's an incredible responsibility to take the gospel to the world. Mark 16, verse 15, it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And that, again, is a huge responsibility. Sometimes in families or things, as we parents will go somewhere to do something, we'll give a responsibility to a child in our home and say, "Do this. I want this to be done when I get home." And if you're a wise child, your parent says that to you, you take that responsibility very seriously, maybe make it a priority and say, I'm going to get this done so I don't have to worry about it, be anxious when mom or dad get back. I want to be able to say, "Look, I got done exactly what you desired me to do." God has given us that responsibility to take the gospel to our generation. Amen. To all the people that are here on this planet right now, we have that responsibility that God has given. There's a parable that Jesus gave. It's the parable of the pounds in Luke chapter 19. In verse 12, it says, "He said, Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. He said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. He said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is 5 pound, which I've kept laid up in a napkin, for I fear thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And you can see his response wasn't one really of anxiety or anything. As the master comes, there was some deception maybe that had taken place in his heart where he felt like, he could face the master, and he had an excuse, if you will, to stand before the master and say, you know what, here's my reasons, but this is all that I have. And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." And so if that was just gospel responsibility, if it was not any other stewardship that God had given, Jesus Christ gave that illustration that to think, how would I be able to stand before God and give an account of my stewardship of the gospel, that responsibility of taking the gospel to the world? And in our hearts, we could think maybe something like this: well, at least I'm saved. But if there's such a thing as regret in heaven, and I don't understand how that works out, there's going to be rewards. There's going to be things that we rejoice in that are very precious, very real things that God has given to us. If there's such a thing as regret, then it's very likely that many will stand at that judgment seat of Christ and hang their heads in shame that they didn't do more with the gospel responsibility that God has given. And as we just think about the gospel and what the gospel is and the opportunities that we have to participate in the gospel, obviously in churches we think even tonight about missions giving and giving to this church. And that certainly, I mean, that gets the gospel out. This church stands for the gospel. Your missionaries that around the world, they ought to be getting the gospel out. And that's a real, very real investment in their ministry. Obviously, being present, being a part of this church, praise God, look out on Sunday night and see that this church is faithful in this gospel lighthouse that stands for the gospel in this community, strengthened by the presence of those that are here. Participating in evangelism would be the most obvious investment of the gospel, that door-to-door ministry or that tract ministry or that that Sunday school teaching, that presenting the gospel, however that is, that obviously is a gospel ministry. And then living a holy life so that others can look at us and let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That too would be a very real part of our fulfilling of that gospel responsibility. And tonight, as we think about this, I want to ask us three questions that two of which are from a rabbi in the second century. He said this: if not now, then when? If not you, then who? And I want to add one question to that this evening, and that is this: if not here, then where? And so those three questions tonight, we'll just ask them, and may the Spirit of God speak to our hearts. Let's ask them to do that, and let's go to prayer. Father, we thank you for the grace that you give. I do rejoice to be here again at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. And Father, we rejoice in the things that we've heard that the Spirit of God has done in this place. And Father, it's obvious that the hand of God is still here, still present, still working. And Father, we rejoice in that. And Father, I just pray tonight as our family reports and as we have opportunity to interact with this church that somehow we could be a blessing to them. And Father, they're a blessing to us. And Father, we ask as we come to the Word of God that you give us ears to hear as we think about these ideas. And Father, as I speak, I confess I have no ability to speak without your enablement. And Father, I pray that you'd help me to preach biblically, help me to preach practically. Father, help me to preach lovingly, and by your grace, help me to preach powerfully, that the Spirit of God would indeed speak to our hearts tonight the truth of these thoughts. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so we begin with tonight, if not you, then who? I don't know when the first time you did door-to-door was, or if that date is still ahead of you. The first time I did door-to-door was with Dr. Ed Nelson in Tucson, Arizona, as I did my internship there. And we kind of talked about soul winning and things. We went out to do soul winning. And that can be kind of intimidating. It's tough to knock on somebody's door not knowing what's on the other side of the door. And I saw Dr. Nelson says, you go first. My first time ever going. He says, you go first. I knock on the door and the man opens the door and I froze. I mean, it seemed like a very, very long time. And I'm waiting for Dr. Nelson to jump in and say something. And he's just staying out of it. You know, and that's tough. There's something that is very difficult about giving the gospel. But if not you, then who? The world populations, you could get on a website. I looked at this last year as I wrote this message for a youth activity that we had at our church. But I looked at a website. It's a world populations website. And back then, in about the same time of year, China had a population of 1,420,000,000. India, a population of 1,370,000,000. The USA, 329,000,000. The total world population at that time was 7,726,000,000. I'd be very interested to see if we're very close to that 8 billion mark. The births last year to August were 90 million. The deaths last year to August were about 38 million. But those 38 million, when they died, increased the population of either heaven or hell. They went somewhere for all eternity. Whose responsibility was it to get the gospel to them? Obviously, tonight we understand that that is the church's responsibility. Romans 10:14 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without preacher?" Somebody has to do the work. Somebody has to get out of their comfort zone, knock on the door, or take the opportunity to give the gospel to that individual. And I don't know about you, but I like to work with people that work. I remember in high school, we had a family that we were trying to help as a church that were kind of almost homeless. And we found a house that they could move into. And there was a man that was the head of that home, the dad of that home. And I can still remember their name. We helped them unload their truck. And as we're unloading their truck, I looked over and this man is just sitting there. He's not doing anything. I thought, man, you know, here we are helping you, but you're not doing anything. I wonder tonight, as you think about the gospel, is there something that you can put your hand on and say, you know what, by the grace of God, that's what I'm doing for the gospel? If not you, then who? Is there a sense tonight that in your heart that that is a responsibility that you have for God? There's a Scottish missionary to Mongolia. His name was James Gilmore. And he said this: "Having decided as to the capacity in which I should labor in Christ's kingdom, the next thing which occupied my serious attention was the locality where I should labor. Occasionally before, I had thought of the relative claims of the home and foreign fields, but during the summer session in Edinburgh, I thought the matter out and decided for the mission field. Even on the low ground of common sense, I seemed to be called to be a missionary. Is the kingdom a harvest field? Then I thought it reasonable that I should seek to work where the work was most abundant and the workers fewest. Laborers say they are overtaxed at home. What then must be the case abroad, where there are wide stretching plains already white to harvest, with scarcely here and there a solitary reaper? To me, the soul of an Indian seemed as precious as the soul of an Englishman, and the gospel as much for the Chinese as for the European. And as the band of missionaries was few compared with the company of home ministers, it seemed to me clearly to be my duty to go abroad. But I go out as a missionary, not that I may follow the dictates of common sense, but that I may obey the command of Christ. Go into all the world and preach. He who said preach said also go ye into and preach. And what Christ hath joined together, let not man put asunder." This command seems to me to be strictly a missionary injunction. As far as I can see, those to whom it was first delivered regarded it in that light. So that apart altogether from choice and other lower reasons, my going forth is a matter of obedience to a plain command. And in place of seeking to assign a reason for going abroad, I would prefer to say that I failed to discover any reason why I should stay at home. And James Gilmore, as he looked at that truth in the Word of God, the Spirit of God spoke to his heart about that responsibility that he had to take the gospel to the world. You know, it could be a young person that's in this congregation that the Spirit of God is speaking to about missions. It could be a parent that God is speaking to about letting their child go into missions and letting those grandchildren grow up in a foreign place. But we got to ask the question, if not you, then who? Somebody has to go. Somebody has to take the gospel to the world. So if not you, then who? That if not here, then where? If not here, then where? I think sometimes we think a missionary is somebody that goes to a foreign field. We had growing up, we had a cat, and this cat kind of adopted us. My brother wanted a cat, and Mom said no. And this cat just kind of showed up. And if you feed a cat, the cat sticks around. And I guess my brother fed the cat. And we had a Christian school next door. And this cat would follow us to class. And then as we come back home, the cat would follow us home. So the cat kind of adopted us, I guess. But that cat we named Missionary. And we called Mish for short. My mom says because a missionary is one sent by God. And, you know, that's true, isn't it? A missionary is one sent by God, but somebody could be sent by God to their neighbor. They don't have to be somebody tonight that has to go to Africa to be a missionary. There's a lot of missions work that God has for us even here. I've got an old tract in my library, and it's called Crippled Tom. It's the story of a young boy in London. His parents passed away, and he lived with his gran. He had one friend that came by, and that friend had saved a shilling to give to him to buy whatever he wanted to get. And he said, "Hey, go out and buy me a Bible." And he lived, the story is, on a main street there in London, up in an upper flat. And he got that Bible, and he began to copy scripture out of that Bible. And he just reached out his window and dropped that down because that was his way of spreading the gospel. We've got a good friend that we're going to be with on Tuesday, Dr. and Mrs. Stedman. We get to join them for lunch on Tuesday. But also, you might have heard the name Major Ron Brooks. His wife, Barbara, is still living in the Greenville area. She's going to join us as well. But Major Ron Brooks in Vietnam was a helicopter pilot. And he would take bags with sweeties, and he would put gospel tracts in them. And they were gospel bombs. And he would drop those out of his helicopter as he flew over villages. And he had a story about somebody he met later that was saved because of that evangelism. You know, God is able, as we pray and ask God for those opportunities, God is able to give us that gospel opportunity, whatever it is, and wherever we are. God is able. And there's been times I mentioned as a missionary that I'm reminded that there's people praying. And I'll just share maybe one story tonight about God's ability to bring you into contact with somebody. But one of the neatest divine appointments that God ever gave me, God gave me last year. And I was in Edinburgh, and I'd been studying. I was going out to do evangelism. And as I walked out to the Princess Street area of Edinburgh, I was getting ready to cross the road. And there was a lady standing next to me with a suitcase. And I sometimes am cautious about saying anything to somebody standing right by me getting ready to cross the road, because if they say no when I offer them a flyer, then there's this awkward silence. You know, but she took it, but she said, "But I'm leaving. I'm going back to Ireland, and I'm just here studying the Huguenots." And we talked about what that is, French Reformation, and began to speak about what was the Reformation about, religious liberty and the gospel, salvation by grace through faith. And I'm witnessing to her as we're walking along. We walked a couple blocks together. And I said to her, "Now, where in Ireland are you from?" And she said, "I'm from the south side of Dublin." And I said, "I've got friends in Bray and another Arklow, another village there on the south side." She said, "Well, I'm just 10 minutes from Bray." And I said, "Well, there's a good missionary there, Dan and Sharon Perro. They've got a little Baptist church." And she said, "Wait a second. What did you say?" I said, "Dan and Sharon Perro." And she looked at me again, and I think I said it a third time, and she said, "They're my neighbors." You know what? I say that just to say God is able. You might feel like, how can I, and even with COVID-19, there's been times where you look at it and think, how can I get the gospel out? But there's ways. And it's good for us just to say, you know what? This is where God put me. It might be a workplace, it might be a family environment, but to say, if not here, then where? If I'm not going to give the gospel in Athens, Georgia, am I going to be somebody that gives the gospel on a mission trip or somebody somewhere else around the world? If not you, then who? If not here, then where? And then if not now, then when? If not now, then when? I wonder, are you putting off sharing the gospel? Is there somebody that God's put on your heart that you're burdened about, but that with that person you have not yet shared the gospel with them? Relationship evangelism has become a kind of a big thing. And I'm not opposed to building relationships with people, but I like what a guy said, that he wasn't into relationship evangelism. He was into confrontational evangelism, taking that opportunity to be salt and light. In Luke 16:22, it says, "The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment." You know, COVID-19 is an opportunity for us to stop and think, you know, this person could die if we don't get them the gospel. There's a story about D.L. Moody when the Chicago fire took place. He was preaching there, and as he preached, he just felt like, you know, I don't want to push people into salvation. I want them to take time to think about the gospel. And so he decided on that night, he said, "Hey, think about this week and then next Sunday." And Tori got up to lead the singing. As he's leading the singing, the chimes and the bells from the fire trucks and the Chicago fires taking place, all that noise began to drown out the church service. Many people that were there that night did not live to see the next Sunday. They died in the Chicago fire. D.L. Moody said, "I've never since dared to give an audience a week to think of their salvation. If they were lost, they might rise up in judgment against me. I've never seen that congregation since. I will never meet those people again until I meet them in another world. But I want to tell you of one lesson that I learned that night, which I've never forgotten, and that is when I preach to press Christ upon the people then and there and try to bring them to a decision on the spot. I'd rather have the right hand cut off than to give an audience a week now to decide what to do with Jesus." You know, if you're somebody tonight that has put off getting saved, don't put it off. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the accepted time. This may be the last opportunity that God ever gives you to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And we, the Spirit of God speaks to our hearts, says, witness that person. We don't know, but that they won't have another opportunity to receive the gospel. And I wonder tonight, as I look at this audience, if we were to ask, when's the last time that you shared Christ verbally? When's the last time that, or how are you praying? Is that something that's part of your mindset as you look at this week ahead? Is it in your heart saying, God, please use me for the gospel? Let me be that person that carries Christ to the world. And so let me ask you tonight, if not you, then who? Do you see it tonight as a greater responsibility for somebody else to give the gospel than yourself? If not here, then where? And if not now, then when? And let's pray. Father, we praise you for the gospel. We thank you, Savior, as has been prayed, for dying so that the gospel could be given. And Father, I praise you for Crooked Creek Baptist Church. I anticipate, even in sharing this tonight, that there are so many that are faithfully sharing Christ. But Father, I pray that you'd lay that burden again upon us of getting the gospel out here, getting the gospel out around the world, that we'd understand that it's not our neighbor, it's not our church fellow church member that's responsible for the gospel, but that it's us. And Father, that we'd be faithful in the area that you put us, that we'd be faithful in the opportunities that you give to us. Yes. And so I just pray, Spirit of God, encourage the church tonight in evangelism. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.